Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Max Show. Yeah, we're trying as hard as we can. 38 minutes to get started. That's a new record, I think, probably. It's same old crap. I was supposed to be down in the studio, but I fell asleep because I'm tired because I've got a sore shoulder, which wasn't right. It's a different thing anyway. Anyway, my kids rung me up and said, are you awake, Dad? I am now. Yeah, because your alarm was going off like, man, all right, well, why didn't you wake me up? Well, didn't want to wake you up in case you didn't want to. We've woken up. Well, that's why I set an alarm. Oh, man. Same stuff, different day. As a different set, you need to change stuff for a different way. Joining me, absolutely brilliant bunch to discuss what is very, very light this week in news. So hopefully we've got a discussion coming. First up, Jeff, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. And I was missing you, Ewan, so it's great to see you again.
Yeah, we were all right. I got a new router, stuck that in, and it worked straight away. I was really quite impressed, to be honest. Things happen, I guess. Things do happen.
Yeah, and I suppose in the grand scheme of things, if the worst you have to deal with is having to get a router replaced and you don't have internet for a day or so.
Right, so now the only thing everyone cares about is whether there's big cats in Boulder or not. So have they all crapped themselves and run away now into the...
No. We still have the mountain lions. Right,
hang on, sorry. Patrice, oh, is it fixed? Right, okay, sorry. Go on.
Already fixed.
All right, and go on.
No. The mountain lions are still roaming around town, and we have to increase our vigilance a little bit more because the bears are roaming around and there'll be bear cubs soon.
Is this like Planet of the Apes where you're trying to get the world back and the bears and the cougars will let you?
It's kind of like that. It wouldn't feel like that if I could just go hang out at the bar, but that's not an option. So yeah, it feels kind of Planet of the Apes.
If bars were open, some of the bears and the mountain lions are going to get easy pickings, aren't they?
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, if I wait and leave later, the other people are going to get picked off and they won't be hungry when I stagger home. I mean, walk home.
I just got him straight away in me and I've got a scene in a bar with two guys. And one guy's absolutely pissed and going to the guy, so are you worried about the mountain lions? He said, no, I'm going to wait till they're all go to bed.
See? What could possibly go wrong?
I'm a genius.
I'm a genius. Pour me another.
Ewan, by the way, the first... like 15 seconds of your intro might be missing because the audio was missing.
That's all right, mate. No one listens to this show anyway, so it's fine.
Fine. Just mentioned it.
Good to have you back, mate. Stay safe. Stay away from the wildcats of Boulder.
I'll do my best.
There's going to be a war, and then when it's all over and the town residents want their town back, it's going to be an OK Corral versus bears and lions.
It'll be crazy. You know, the other night I did a late night walk and it's when we had the full moon. So it's like 10:30 at night. I'm walking along and with the full moon, it makes hunting for the wildlife a lot easier, meaning it's easier for them to find a meal. Me. And I'm walking through an area where it's like really big trees that overhang the road. So it's like a perfect place for the mountain lions to wait and then drop down on prey. And as I'm walking through all of this, I'm thinking...
Okay, so this occurred to you you were doing it, not before, clearly.
Yes. So while I'm doing it, I start to think about this. And of course, I'm always looking up because that's where you'll find the mountain lions. And I thought, I think I've really made a bad life choice here.
Yeah.
So no mountain lions. I was fine. But yeah, that was... a very poor decision on my part. That could have turned out very differently.
Oh, don't do that again, Jeff.
I could have been a buffet.
The Jeff Buffet. I got a title because we haven't got a title for last week's show. Doc, how the devil are you, mate?
Good. And the last time I made one of those bad decisions, Jeff, it was a cougar, not a mountain lion.
And you married her.
You know, and that totally changes Jeff Buffet, doesn't it?
No, doing good. I'm just staying, you know, away from people. And one thing that I've discovered during this quote unquote pandemic thingy is I've discovered I actually prefer being in the house, just tweaking out, working on my own stuff, like having much more nerd time to myself than normal, because normally I've been busy doing things and social butterfly, and now I get to stay home.
For those of us that are antisocial, this is nirvana.
Yeah, this is awesome.
This is like
now,
time.
Now I get what people were doing all of this time.
And I used all to be these like, gregarious folk are looking going mental in their home. And you're like, we're geeks, mate. We're supposed to be sat happy, sat on our own, looking at, yes, at our own shorts.
It's great. This has been absolutely great. I cut a little hole in my chair and put the pan underneath, so I don't get
What? Have you got a little jet of water as well to clean off afterwards?
Dude, you know I'm Japanophile, so I got the bidet. You got to clean, you got to keep the tutor clean. But yeah, it's been great. I'm glad we have these shows and the myriad Zoom meetings and stuff to keep busy. And yeah, just been having a great time. So it's awesome.
Well, I've been doing networking in the US. So I'm part of a networking group called BNI. And they're a good bunch. There's a lot of really nice people in it. But I just thought I'm going to have a go at doing some US stuff. So I did 3 chapters in Seattle yesterday. And I did a chapter in Grand Rapids today in Michigan. And I did a load of work in Michigan in Grand Rapids for Siemens years and years and years, about 20 years ago. And it was really, really cool. But the American chapters are just completely different from ours. Some woman did her 60 seconds and then she got her knitting out, started knitting. And then this other woman did her 60 seconds and a cat jumped up and she stood there and she's fighting for screen time with the cat. You know, the cat.
I did a bunch of work in New York with in Detroit with Siemens too.
Okay, that's the end of the story.
All right, great show. See everyone later.
Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Ewan.
No mountain lions where you are.
No, I mean, all we have is squirrels. That's the biggest problem I have.
Well, they're kind of big squirrels where Jeff is as well.
Well, yeah, but the squirrels don't eat people here. They just chew through electrical wires.
Yeah, but they fancy Jeff's nuts. Problems.
To be fair, who doesn't?
Oh, there's going to have to be a rating put on this show this time around.
Oh, we're getting stir crazy, mate. Lockdown's starting to bite deep.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I've been talking to a number of friends, you know, that are on lockdown, and just what you were saying, you know, the people that are a little more geek oriented are fine with this. You know, we're working at home and probably getting more work done than we did at the office. And the people that are a lot more social are just crawling the walls and going crazy and say, you know, when can we get back and have meetings? And it's like, I don't want to go back and have meetings.
No, absolutely. Quite happy. Geek out. Mate, are you missing golf though? Are you allowed to play golf yet?
Not yet. No. No,
yeah, we are. We're allowed to back play golf. So we can only play with someone from the same household and we've got to be 2 meters apart, which based on the way that I play golf is not going to be an issue.
Yeah, they've
I
said
don't play
here
golf
that,
and even I got that one.
Yeah, they've said here that, you know, same thing. When it comes back, there'll be the social distancing. They're gonna put the little things in the cup that, you know, you'll be able to make the putt, but it's not gonna the whole way down in, so you'll be able to, you know, not have to touch the flag, stay out of the sand traps, you know, just pull it out of the sand trap because you don't want to touch the rakes. So,
okay.
Yeah, it'll be what it is.
Or don't rake the bunkers like they used to at the start when it was proper golf.
Well, that would be interesting. Yeah.
The manicure bunkers I did say to a guy, I said, it's all right, mate. That's the way we play, mate. I'll pull it left, you carve it right, and then we'll take it in turns to use the green.
Yeah. In other words, normal golf, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say hello to Patrice, but I can't actually show him.
Oh, I can.
You can show you.
Yes,
okay.
I can show myself. See?
So that's me. There's you. Hello, mate. How you doing?
Hi. Yeah, doing good. Busy, as always. Been a great week in general. Like a lot of really cool things happening. We're getting ready to move back to the office very soon. Like actually starting next week.
That's bad. That ruins my show times.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, we're gonna take it a little bit slower. Like my team, we got together. We decided we're gonna like do this small, the slow and measured approach. But yeah, it's like next couple of weeks, We're going to go back to the office.
Excellent, mate. Good. Cool. Thank you for diving in last week and hosting the shows. And thank you for diving in this week and broadcasting the shows, because it's all gone horribly wrong at this end. I'm going to do the big show from the office. I'm going to go in the office. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, no worries. It was fine. Like now I'm set up, so it's fairly easy to do that.
And last, but by no means least, it is Callum from I'm In Max. Now you've been to work.
We have, yeah.
Sitting here listening to all us lazy bastards, and then you've actually, well, I've been work all day, mate.
Well, not quite all day. We are doing some sort of reduced hours, so we're doing about 8:30 till about 3:00. Yeah, we've been getting everything ready, so getting the workshop set back up and getting all the kind of tape and whatnot in place, so we're all 2 meters apart as best as we can be, and all of the processes in place, so we don't have to get in contact with anyone. So busy few days, clearing the backlog as well today of work we had in before the lockdown, so lots of people have been waiting a long time for their things. So next week we're back open fully, well, as full as we can be, and fixing things again, hopefully.
Excellent. The week in Apple, it's been a bit of a lean week as far as the news goes, but Patrice has started off with the first story. Apple goes on cloud computing hiring spree. Apple's hired well-known software engineers with cloud computing expertise in recent months, according to a report from Protocol. The range of employees that they've hired, though, is a stir and a tight-knit cloud community. Why is Apple? I mean, I know Apple's got a big cloud presence anyway with iCloud and a lot of other stuff, but what are they going for over and above that they need these extra people in?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big issue, or that's the big question. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to go after Google and Amazon and have their own like AWS type service, like a service offering for developers or for everybody else to like host stuff in their data centers, because they do have data centers already? Or is that literally just for like internal data centers that they have and that they're running, and the service offerings that they're expanding, that they just need people for that? I think that's the big question there. I mean, right now the market is basically, well, there's Amazon, then there's like nothing. Then there's, well, Google and Microsoft maybe. Like, I don't know who's bigger. I think Google might be slightly bigger than Microsoft in the hosting space. And then, well, that's basically it. So there is definitely, I think there should be more competition. There should be more than just Amazon. But it's, so far nobody has been able to do it.
Feels like the next logical step for them.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that make it sound like they're bigger and better than Amazon, and if you trace it, they're sitting on AWS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. A lot of services are either AWS or Azure, Microsoft, or sometimes Google.
Comment one here is cheap. Is it cheaper to post employees than pay AWS GCP bills? So is Apple getting a big AWS bill?
I'm pretty sure they do. I mean, they are hosting, like, they have like pretty. They use a lot of different services. I know that they're using for iCloud both AWS and Azure, simply also to, like, if one of them goes down, to have redundancy and so on. But I'm pretty sure they're paying a lot of money for that. Like, it's not cheap to do that.
Yeah, they're paying millions of dollars.
Yeah, probably more hundreds.
A quarter. Well, probably millions of dollars a month.
Yeah.
I believe Apple is still hosting a lot of their streaming media content, Apple Music and movies and stuff on AWS.
Yeah. Yes, they are. I mean, in some cases that makes sense because they want to be like as close to the customer. So I know that they're hosting even with ISPs and so on, they're CDNing so content delivery. And that they're using content delivery networks, like Cloudflare probably, to like be as close to the customer as possible in these cases, because that's like more efficient and faster and everything, cheaper as well. But yeah, I mean, there is that iCloud. I definitely know that they're hosting a lot of their iCloud services on probably even AWS and, no, definitely AWS and Azure. They do remember have the their own data centers.
Remember the days when it all sort of ran through Akamai?
And then,
Now that I'm doing, you know, all of this live stream stuff, one of the competitors for a multi-streaming service is something known as Caster. And then so with Caster or Restream or something like that, we would be able to go live on the BETN page and to a Facebook page and to YouTube. And now there's another brand new guy in the market, and that's LinkedIn Live. So we could increase our show crawl of people who don't watch if we recasted all of those spaces at the same time. You know what I mean? Because then, and the other thing that's cool about that is then the chat room becomes a little bit more interactive because it's interactive on all of the different places. And what these aggregators like Akamai and Restream do is they pull it all into a single chat repository. But you can see next to them, like it'll say, you know, MacMan is in, you know, IRC, and like, you know, like Steve Jenkins is on Facebook or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of cool, but it was weird to me because I'm like, man, Akamai has been pushed down to people streaming out of their house because Apple and these guys just started making their own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't think there's anything cool on this. This is just bill reduction.
So I have a question.
Good.
If
this
Apple
is no news.
No, this is not news.
Is no news. So keep asking the questions. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So if Apple were to be hiring all of these people to create and enhance the services that they already have for cloud, so like more storage options, more robust cloud storage features, and then make like enhancing more of what they're doing with iCloud and music and you know, just the whole package thing. How comfortable would people first in our group feel using Apple like their primary cloud storage option for themselves or their business? And I'm asking it from that perspective because I'm assuming that the general public that doesn't get into the inside baseball stuff like we do, they wouldn't care. They'd be like, oh, it's just integrated with my iPhone and my Mac. Great, I'll use it, and not have any of the baggage that goes along with years of stories about Apple cloud services not being reliable and all of that.
How about the privacy part? I mean, if it's Apple, then you figure they're going to double down on the privacy. And that's something that I don't know that the other services have really advertised themselves as being extra secure, extra private.
And that might be the number one reason to roll your own services, because then they can control the privacy, whereas the stuff that they put out on other sides.
Or is it the price of the privacy?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
privacy is too high to go to AWS and GCC.
So then they want to bring it into their own selves. And I'm going to have to be with Chuck. If it's all about, you know, Apple taking it because of the privacy, I'm in. Because the one thing that's happened since all of those horror stories, though, Jeff, is cloud has become much more robust. Not a little bit more robust. Like, remember in, like, maybe sixth grade, when Patrice was probably like 80 centimeters, and then he came back for summer, and then all of a sudden it's 120 centimeters. It's that growth spurt between 13 and 14. Yeah, that's where cloud has been in like the last 2 years. That first, you know, get you over close to the 2 meter mark, you know? So I think I would, if that's the case about the privacy, that I would be in, because they are definitely much more private oriented, privacy oriented.
Yeah, well,
and you and to spend your comment about, you know, the price of privacy that they're paying now. I mean, would this be an opportunity for yet another premium priced service for Apple to offer? You know, so I guess they can compete two ways. They could compete on keep the price as it is and sell the idea that they are private, or keep the system where it is. And if you want the bigger, the better privacy, you pay more.
That kind of goes against their corporate culture, though. Their corporate culture is we are the most private. So they might just say, oh, we had to raise the price because we had to raise the price and not really explain it that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if anything, client computing should be getting cheaper right now, surely.
It should be, yeah.
Not getting more expensive.
Yeah. If Apple had a cloud storage service that was like head-to-head competitive with the cloud storage services that I'm using for everything else, then and it also would have to be something where it was drop-dead simple for me to share content with other people, even if they're not using the same cloud services. I mean, that would be a very compelling option. I mean, as it stands right now, I'm relying on iCloud, Dropbox, and Google Drive so much that when I got my new computer last fall, and I logged in to it, you know, set it up the first time, I didn't restore any of my files from backup. I just logged into my cloud accounts, and all of my content was there.
Yeah, that's exactly how I use my computer at the moment. I install an OS and log into everything, and everything pops up.
You know, one thing that's I guess, and we'll almost say it's crazy, but it's just the timing of it is kind of funny, because right now, again, like we say, Apple is very famous for, we're going to hold your privacy to the gate. But right now here we have kind of a senator that was up to some douchebaggery, and the FBI was like, Apple, we want a warrant to get to his stuff. And they're going to deny it. And this is one of the cases where you would want them to be like, no, please give his stuff, because that dude's a wad. But in order to be what you are, you have to remain what you are. And so far, they have been very, very good about, nah, you ain't getting that. So it sucks in this particular case, but I think that they're going to stand pat. Sorry, Patrice. I think they're going to stand pat and continue to be like, no, we're not giving you a damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Large, it's a positive the way they act with regards to privacy and data. And I think if and when that carries over to something like an extended cloud-based service, I do think it'll be a selling point for people. But I think the price point will be interesting to see if they make it competitive, as opposed to AWS and things like that. And,
what's everybody cloud size now? Like, what do you guys all have for cloud size now? I'm on 2 terabytes.
Yeah, 2 terabytes. £6.99 a month for 2 terabytes. It's just not
great.
It's no brainer. Mm-hmm. The only thing that gets me, though, and this is the real issue, is the fact that actually I want, I think the question to come back to is, what do you want from a cloud computing service? You want all your shit everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. And you want it secure so no one else can get to it. Yeah. And the problem that Apple's got, and I don't know if this is a data thing, so maybe I might have got an answer to my own question here, but is the inability of Apple's stuff to be everywhere all the time down to the fact that they're paying the bill to AWS rather than they control it themselves? Because at the moment, the syncing function between desktop and your iCloud, not backup, but your iCloud storage of data is crap. It's just awful. It's, you know, I sit here now and I do a thing on a Thursday morning where I make a PowerPoint presentation on a Thursday night on my desktop, and then I just leave it here, and I just go, well, you know, the it'll sync. So I leave my laptop open because it'll sync. And then my laptop is trying to upload a 170 kilobyte file for something that's just absolute bunkum that I want absolutely nothing to do with. I have no idea why it's doing it. But while it's trying to upload that 170 kilobytes, it won't bring down the 10 megabytes of the PowerPoint presentation that I made on the other side of it. And with five minutes to go, I'm trying to figure out which file it's trying to upload so I can kill it, delete it, so that then I'll get the thing down, so then I'll be able to start using it. And it drives me mad. It drives me absolutely mad. I should be able to click on a file and go, I want it here or I want it there. And the minute I go, I want it here, it's here. And when I go, I want it there, it just deletes it from my computer and it stays up there where it was in the first place. And until they get that function, iCloud will always be critically hobbled, I think.
Yeah, well, but I don't think that has anything to...
Sorry. So I was going to say, that's not normal, because I do it all the time. But do you have the cloud icon next to the file? Do you turn that view on?
Yeah.
Okay, so whenever I have something that's blocking the other thing from coming, I just tell it remove download real quick so it stops, you know?
My MacBook Pro is trying to upload a little file that it thinks is synced, and then it gets blocked on that. So I don't see the cloud file next to the real file. I've got the old file on my MacBook Pro.
I got it.
And it's not seeing the new one, and it doesn't know it wants a new one yet because it's still trying to get
rid of that. I wish they had a better progress, you know, monitor type thing, so you can see which is moving, so you can like, oh, okay, wait, let this one pass. You know, like we're doing downloads, you can tell it, okay, let this download sit, let this download come in front, or give it some sort of priority. And maybe by tagging it, you can control priority, but yeah,
it's not controllable, mate. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And it's got to be way more controllable than it currently is to be a decent service.
Yeah.
I don't see Apple doing that. And the reason I don't see them doing that is because they're all about, it just works. It's transparent. And and you hide the elements that make something potentially more complex. So in this case, giving people control over exactly which file is uploading and syncing at any given time, which I think is a brilliant idea, it doesn't sound like the sort of thing Apple would do, because now it's not just this magic it works thing where you throw files somewhere and then don't have to think about them.
And to be fair, does Dropbox give you that capability? I don't think so. I mean, because I use Dropbox for a lot of things, and I'm constantly wondering, is something actually finished? Now, Doc, to your point, you know, it has that little indicator beside the file that tells me where it is, whether it's in the cloud or whether it's synced. But I don't think that there's...
But when it's uploading, if it's still green line is moving or blue line is moving, you can actually click it and pause that one to make the other one go in front.
Yeah. Okay. But again, it's got to be a manual process. And
you can't highlight these. So that's all we need, without making it complicated for folks, is if I tag something this particular tag color, it, you know, with Finder tags, it is priority. If I say upload, download, sync, stop everything else, move this file. And you would figure they would give Kido Pages.
That's so doable. That is so doable.
Yeah, you would figure they would give their own file types the little bit more juice, just out of pure cockiness. And he was uploading his PowerPoint and it wouldn't upload. Yeah, well, F PowerPoint. If you were uploading Keynote, it would have been there. I mean, you would think just out of brand.
Well, it is loyalty, Keynote. I don't use PowerPoint. I was talking about Keynote.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying in order to beat their own drum, which they're very good at, they should have it so that those file types have some sort of priority. That's a good feedback thing. I'll write a feedback article. If all six of us do it, they'll be like, in one day, six people.
Well, you're not bully enough to take it on your own. You just
I'm just saying,
you'll write the article department. Next week, you'll have testicles you'll have your electrodes on your testicles in the basement of Cupertino.
I'm just saying that the person who watches feedback can be like, how did six people at the same time just say, let us tag a file to say priority upload to iCloud? They're like, wow, we didn't think of that.
You know, now that you've brought this feature up, I'm really pissed off that I don't have it on every cloud service that I use.
Yeah. And I don't think it's an issue. I don't think it's an issue like for Apple that this is the infrastructure is hosted on like someone else's data center. I mean, they're building stuff on top of that is secure and everything. I mean, it's actually good for reliability. I think this is literally a typical Apple thing where, they didn't really, like they wanted to make it simple and they didn't really make it good. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not functional. Like it's very simple. Yeah. I mean, if it works, it's perfect, but it fortunately doesn't.
At least we got back to the core values of this show, which is to piss everyone off who watches it.
everyone's going to be pissed that they can't highlight a file with the tag and make it upload faster.
Well, you should.
Building on that, I want to be able to tag a folder so that anything that's in that specific folder gets priority upload.
Yeah, a watch folder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should definitely have a watch folder.
Yeah, and then that way, you know, like critical work files, business files that I want to make sure are always uploaded to the server, then you know, I just designate my work document folder as a priority folder.
But you know, I have to point out that, like, if I put something in notes right now, I mean, it'll be everywhere on all my machines, all but instantly.
Yeah,
that's, you know, I mean, that works so well. The calendar sync really works well. Yeah, I mean, there's some things about this that really do work well.
Yeah, and I wonder what syncs works. It seems that the file manipulation syncs are different. That's what.
Yeah, and so are they using a different protocol, or what is it that makes it a little iffy on the other side, or is it just too much data?
Baked. I think those are baked. Those have been going on since iPhone 2. Mm-hmm. So they're well baked. You know, they're almost burnt at this point. So I think the other stuff is more new or more nuanced, maybe. Yeah, that's a good, Chuck, that's an absolutely good point.
Or gets less attention.
I used to freak people out when it first came out and people didn't really understand it. And I should try to teach people why they should be using, you know, their iCloud. I was like, look, da, 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 and you just have like three devices open and they all match in the second. Like, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, also, it ain't that slick.
That the notes thing that you mentioned, the sharing of notes is different. It should almost be a little bit more Google Drive. If I have, like, you know, for us, if we wanted to actually be professional and have show notes where we would all log into a document and pre-pose all of our questions and answers and things ahead of time. Like,
dude, right this second, I'm still trawling through Mac Rumors for stories. That's not happening.
But that's what I mean. See, we would
turn the ideology and step away, man.
We would already be able to pre-post stories, and then it would be easier. But yeah, that should happen in notes.
No, you want you to bring your own stories? Yeah, totally with it. Help yourself, boys. That's it. Entirely it.
Every week I'm going to say, my story's the same as Doc's.
That's what we used to have.
The same as Ewan's, yeah.
Well, you won't have a story.
Your story is always going to be either mountain lions or teledildonics, one of the two. A teledildonic mountain lion.
I've really impressed myself. I've done, look at this. How cool am I? Apple glasses to launch in 2022, says Minkuo. New 10-point. I forget about the iPad story. Apple are going to make some glasses. I'm going to call BS on this because there is no way on God's green earth Apple are making new glasses. Not happening.
Agree with that. I don't think it's happening.
Never happening. Discuss.
But then how are you going to implement AR?
Yeah.
I want them to make glasses.
Yeah. I don't think there's, I mean, other than contact lenses, I don't think there's any other way.
If you're saying they're going to make a HoloLens, then, or an Oculus Rift, then I don't have a problem with that. But they're not doing everyday wearing glasses that go out on the street and you can have everything up front in the middle of your vision.
Hey, well, just think of it. Their name is already covered. Eyeglasses.
Yeah, and then they're going to sue every company that uses like the usual eyeglasses with EY.
Well, actually, right now it belongs to Ecamm, and that's what we used to use in order to put effects on your camera.
Yeah, but they're not going to. Apple won't back away from suing anyone that uses the word glasses. Apparently, they'll have invented glasses, and everyone else is just using the term illegally.
Totally.
I would love glasses to get there, but they have to look like this. It doesn't
exactly
even have any, if it has one, these are already a bitch. Let's just start right now. Everybody that has glasses, no matter how comfortable they are, they're still somewhat bothersome through various points of the day for something, whether it's putting on the hat. For me, it's putting on the lacquer mask when I go to spray lacquer or to do heavy sanding. Like, my glasses are always in the way. This pandemic thing, you always got to put it on, pinch your thing, set your glasses on top of your mask so you don't breathe your glasses blurry. So there's enough things happening with your face shields as it stands that they have to look like this. And until they look like this, F that story.
We don't want to end up like Geordi LaForge.
Yes. You know, glasses are high maintenance. Mm-hmm. And, just assuming that people that don't need to wear glasses will be cool with having to wear glasses all the time to be able to get these heads up AR features mm-hmm. is I think wrong. And then once you've created these glasses, now you have to create a system for them where they automatically turn into sunglasses. Otherwise, you need two pairs of glasses. And so, you know, are people going to get one pair of glasses and then decide they need AR only when they're indoors? And glasses, even the best of glasses, at some point in the day, you want to take them off.
Yeah.
It's
then you're going to lose an expensive pair of glasses.
Right.
I can't see without my glasses.
The only way they can make this work is they're going to have to get together with Hoya and figure out how to make them as small as possible or as unique, no pun intended, as possible. So that way they have somewhat, you know what I mean? They do it by themselves. No, they need somebody like Hoya or somebody with a lot of, you know, skin knowledge. In the game.
Yeah,
knowledge of already high-tech glasses company. And I didn't mention any other names because, well, sponsored.
Yep. And I can tell you the people that are designing glasses that are supposed to be smart glasses or have other features in them are not people that wear glasses. You know, like Google Glass, putting the thing on the side, man, that throws the balance off and puts weird weight on your face. And then saying, okay, well, we'll put we'll put batteries and controls on the backside of your ear. No, man, that just hurts. Mm-hmm. Until you can miniaturize everything to the point where you can't distinguish the regular glasses from the smart glasses, then you've created a system where ultimately the glasses have to sacrifice something to be able to do the job. And if they have to sacrifice comfort, then you've created a product that people are not going to be happy using.
Wasn't there a Google search? It was like you couldn't, the thing about how cool is Google Glass, and someone put in, yeah, but have you got, can you find a picture of a black dude wearing them? Because then they'd be cool. Because unless the black dude's wearing the glasses, you can't. And you couldn't. It was true. AZ brought a pair to the bash. He's a black guy. And he wore those, but I don't think he kept those. But there was this thing about the internet about every picture that came up of people wearing glasses, Google Glass, they're all white dudes. They live with their mom still.
Yeah, it was like middle-aged white guys.
And who aren't minding lockdown either.
It's glass holes.
Nobody here.
No glasses. We like that. Apple Store's opening up in Italy. Not going to show a picture of this because it's just an Apple Store that's actually closed, funny enough. We know what it is. But Apple Stores are opening up in Italy. No word on Apple Stores in the UK yet. I think retail's probably not going to be their thing until the 1st of July. That's the way it goes at the moment.
You need an Apple Store.
You don't need an Apple Store. Exactly my point. I was just about to say, Callum, lead us off on this one because, God, you must be happy.
Yeah, at the house, back open this week. So very pleased. In this week, trying to make everything safe. And we've already had a lot of inquiries. So, it's good.
Awesome, mate. Very business good. Is booming.
Something like that, yeah.
You stayed open after Apple shut, and you're open again now before Apple open. Yes.
It's true.
Get in. Yeah. Has Apple been hit much by the retail thing, though? Because, I mean, Apple stores were always packed, I get that, but there was usually little shits having to go on all the stuff rather than actually buying anything, wasn't it?
I think Apple they've done retail okay stores. With their ordering. Yeah, he's talking about the physical stores.
Physical store, yeah.
Yeah, because I just ordered a new 16 that's coming. And I helped like three other people order computers. So, I mean, that's only small, but I'm sure many, their online stuff is already good enough that they've been handling. The stores are more of a situation of tech support, of course, but you know, McDonald's run commercials to just remind you that they're there. They don't need to run a commercial to make you walk into McDonald's because most people are going to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's just a top of mind branding thing. And so from the very beginning, the Apple stores were intended to be gallery oriented. And then the fact that they blew up in retail was the accident. But when it was first put together with John Ronson and the squad, like their whole intent, you know, I can say they because I was there. The whole intent was more gallery oriented, and then the Genius Bar helped it blow up, and then all the myriad new products that just took the world by storm after they had a chance to be properly galleried. Because the original headache, I don't know if you guys remember, but somebody walked into a store and it was a person of note for Apple, and they asked for ADB cable, and the guy said, "Oh, we don't sell ADB cables," even though he's standing in the Apple section, and that kind of pissed him off because he's like, "I wonder if this happened at all of our stores." So over a course of like 3 years of research, they went around to all these stores that were Apple resellers that were directly steering people to PC because that person didn't like Apple. You know, because you always had little kids, you know, with like eight pencils and the Star Trek pip. And so they just realized we need to be in control of our own thing. And Gateway had just, you know, made their stores and they were pretending to do good.
God, Gateway PCs. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, remember the Gateway store? I remember going to Macworld and then going down to the Gateway store and just thought, man, it'd be cool if we had our own stores. And then like 2 years later, we had our own stores and they did not.
Yeah,
I did not.
So Josh Centers from Tidbits.
Yeah,
he ran the math a few weeks ago on what it costs what it's costing Apple to have their stores closed. And so he figured out that Apple stores make, I think it's $5,500 a square foot. And I can't remember if that's a month or a quarter.
It's a second.
A day.
It's probably a second. So it's probably a month. And so then he worked it out from that. And he's like, yeah, Apple's losing like $1 billion a quarter or something. You know, it was an insane number by having their stores closed.
And that's in the sofa in the canteen.
I mean, for Apple, that's comparatively not a huge amount of money, but at the same time, it's a huge amount of money.
And how many times did you go ahead?
I was just saying, like, some of that money might not be lost because it just goes to streaming, but
people are still buying. They're not buying Apple products.
People are definitely still buying. But the having the retail stores closed is definitely changing the amount of revenue that's coming in.
Go ahead, Chuck. You had a point.
Well, I kind of think that this may be, it may be hurting the third party folks a little more, the third party products that are in the stores, because I always feel like an Apple product is a pretty intentional product. I don't walk in and just, oh, today I'm going to buy an iPad. You know, gee, it looks good. I think I'll buy one. Or, you know, I'm going to get the new color of something. You know, I usually, if I'm going in to buy an Apple product, I'm going in to buy an Apple product. Mm-hmm. It's when I get there that I say, hey, you know what, that external drive looks good. Or, you know, I've been thinking about some of this, these smart things.
That's a really good point.
So, you know, I think I wonder what percentage of revenue, of the Apple revenue, comes from third-party products. Mm-hmm. How that's being affected.
Yeah, cases and cables and so on. I mean, you usually don't plan them, or like you might have an idea that you might want a case eventually, and then you see one and you're like, oh, this looks good, let's buy it.
Or the ability to try it on your phone, because that was the big thing when we went into the store in Birmingham here, wasn't it, Patrice? We were trying on the watch straps and trying on the cases, and it was just like, oh, God, this is amazing. I'm allowed to do this. So, yeah, I'll buy it now. I've tried it on and it feels nice and it looks nice and it's, oh, it smells nice. And
Yeah, exactly. So definitely lost there.
I think people, if they want it, they want it. They're going to buy it anyway. Mm. It's not going to be, well, certain things like MacBooks and that kind of stuff, the ability to walk in and buy the spec of MacBook Pro that you actually want is fairly limited. I mean, I know they do carry high-end stocks there periodically that you can just buy it off, but more often than not, you end up ordering. Yeah,
and we don't have this kind of money where we could literally just walk into a store and say, oh, this looks good, let's buy 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's not us.
Yeah.
That's not Apple, period.
This one's,
oh no, I think that is Apple. Like if like a whatever rich like Hollywood star or some movie star walks into an Apple store, sees something they like and buys 10 of them, that's totally Apple. Apple's gonna sell them whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. This story's for the serious audiophiles in the room, and I'm looking at you, Doc, here. Apple Power Beats are in four new colours. Pink, Glacier, Blue, Spring Yellow, and Lava Red. Do you like those, Doc? They're working for you. That's the My Little Pony of earpieces, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of reminds me of Rainbow Bright or My Little Pony, but
Power Beats. Yeah, Serious Audiophiles are going to look like the Dora the Explorer now.
Yeah, that doesn't. I don't know. That one's funny, but the fitness type people will be all about this life. So,
yeah. Which color would you get?
It's only a rumor. It's only a rumor. I know you hate rumors as well, so that's the double reason for sharing you.
If I was by any of them, I'd buy a red pair and a yellow pair and wear them in opposite ears on match day.
Manchester United's red and white, though, isn't it? Red, white, and black.
Red and yellow, dude. What the hell?
They don't wear yellow. They haven't got red in the yellow. They're red and white shorts, haven't they? Red tops, white shorts.
Red tops, red and yellow.
Red top, black shorts. No. He's going to find. No, if he finds a piping of yellow in the yeah, there's a tiny bit of yellow in the logo, but that doesn't mean that's what they wear on the match day, mate. Oh, mate, I'm not the one that's dug a hole in my seat and shitting through it into a bucket. Don't you dare. You want the gloves off, Sunshine?
I was going to see this little wasp guy for your rugby squad, but no, I'm keeping him there.
You started it. Ridley Scott has got a Apple Inc.'s first deal with Scott Studios, Scott Free. Are they any good? Well, they made Top Gun, Alien, Black Hawk Down, The Martian, Good Wife, Man in the High Castle, apart from Man in the High Castle, they're doing all right. and Scott also directed 1984, the Apple first movie or advert that was at the Super Bowl.
The only problem with this story is that picture makes him look like Steve Bannon.
Not good, is it? I mean, I've got a little bit of the Whipple coming underneath my chin here, but I'm trying to, you know, I keep leaning forwards to try and get rid of it. But that is just, that's like, Ridley, what are you doing, man? I know you're a 70-year-old dude, but steady on, mate.
Well, I love Ridley Scott movies, so.
Well, the thing is, the original look at that was, we're not going to be able to know what they're going to be doing for Apple, so there's no point in carrying on too much about it. But Apple TV content is not sucking. We've had it for a year now, haven't we? And it's...
Yeah. No. Yeah,
actually, there's some quality, because I was serious, you know, I was just thinking this was going to be Planet of the Apps, you know, repeatedly on a high budget. And actually, the stuff that's come out has been good. For All Mankind was excellent. The Morning Show finished strong. The great. Banker, wow.
Oh,
what a,
thank you.
What thank a film. Really
I am
great
so
film.
Happy that story finally came out, because as a learned person, I've tried to explain it to people, and they think I'm crazy. And I'm like, no, it's a true story. And I was really nice to see it put out, but well played. I mean, it was a very good show.
They've done well.
The other one with Aaron Paul and Octavia Spencer, that was also pretty good.
I haven't got into that. I've only watched part of the first episode. I think it was more about, it wasn't about the show, it was more about the time that I had to sit and devote to watching it. And I couldn't get into it in that 15-20 minutes that I started watching. I'm like, no, I won't do this, because I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to go, it's crap at the end of the first episode.
It doesn't have the speed, but as you sit to it, it does have level. So, and that can get to me, because I'm kind of ADD anyway. So a lot of shows that don't have that level of speed will get to me. Like, I just watched this movie where the girl from Ozark, you know, Ruth Langmore, the spicy country girl, she's in this other movie, and it's just a long, straight movie. It's kind of weird, but it's good cinema, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had to pull out my little Black Beret tilted to the side, you know, with a cup of cappuccino while I watch it.
What color beats did you wear with that?
The red and yellow. One is game day, you know. So a proper Mancurian wing. So I had to sit there and I'm gonna watch this because it's supposed to be good. And as you got through the slow parts, you get it. It's really great cinema, but it is not like action like we're kind of used to.
Oh, mate, yeah. Muller in the chat room has put, yeah, man, you have got some yellow running through them for sure.
Bullish, just shut up. That's been the best part about quarantine is we don't get to see that mug on the opposite side of the
but
camera.
Muller also said Apple TV shite, which I'm going to take issue with. I don't think it's not. There's some bad stuff, but it's not horrific.
No, exactly. I mean, I think those kind of deals that Apple made, like with Ridley Scott, is exactly why it's good. These first look deals, I mean, it basically means Apple pays the company or Ridley some money to get like first dibs on stuff. So the Apple can review whatever they're pitching and then can decide whether they want to buy it and invest money in it. I mean, it's not like they don't get it for free. They have to still pay for everything. Or if they want to pass on it and then someone else can buy it. So Apple basically gets first dibs, and I think that's important. Like that gives them access to quality content or what they think is quality content. I mean, it's still on them to decide whether it's good or not and make a good decision, hopefully. But yeah, it's important.
You know, overall, I think Apple has had a good showing for a first year original content service.
Totally agree.
And they won a bunch of awards too, which I always think awards are kind of somewhat douchey anyway, but it does help certain people, like, you know, feel real about themselves.
Yeah, but there was no way that Morning Show did brilliantly, and it was good to start with. There's no way that's Emmy content. No way. When you look at the other stuff that's out there, that is no way an Emmy grade show yet. Mm. Yet.
I think they did get a couple of nominations. I think they got one Emmy for something.
They got an Emmy for Morning Show, didn't they?
Yeah.
They gave it to Aniston, I thought, for Best Actress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she's okay in that, but the show just doesn't hold. There's not enough gravitas around the show to hold her as Best Actress. And you got other people doing so much more.
I mean, you know, the reason why that won is two types of political. One, to get more of the other studios to get their content work towards a system where they pretty much know that they're going to make money if they're on Apple. And the other one was because that show was about the Me Too movement at a point in time where it was good level, like align myself with this, it makes me seem better. And because Hollywood has a huge egg on their face over the Me Too movement, giving a Me Too oriented show top honors, you know.
Which actually, considering it's actually a very measured view of Me Too, it's not particularly hugely biased towards one side or the other.
But Hollywood does that though. They do that a lot, you know? So that's, I honestly think that was more about the subject matter than Jay Annie herself. You know, I think that was them trying to atone for the many, many years of being tone deaf.
Go ahead, Patrice. I mean, every reward is, I mean, it's biased by, like, just based on, I mean, one, what is it, like, what shows are running against each other? Like, if there's crap content otherwise, I mean, the best out of the crap shoot will win. Like, it just getting an award doesn't mean it's high quality. Like, it just depends on, like, what's running this year. Like, if everybody else just strikes out and there's nothing good like on air, then
That's a fair point.
So it's always biased.
Was it just bad as everything else?
Probably. I mean, I don't know whether
this year's least shit show is
exactly. And then I mean, as Doc said, it's also biased based on who voted on it, who selected it. Like, this is not a fair thing. Like, it's whatever the people who were in power decided they wanted.
You'd so want the next person that does get Ricky Gervais to present the Best Picture award at the Oscars, and he's going to stand there and go, "The least awful picture this year is."
Dude, Ricky is so brilliant at the award shows. I'm surprised they still let him come back because he's brutal.
It's the viewing figures. Mm-hmm. The viewing figures. It's nothing else, mate. It's the viewing figures because people love watching stars having the piss ripped out of them.
Oh, my God. And some of them literally are pissed at him when he says what he says, but it's so juice. I love it. I can't stand award shows, but I will watch Ricky's monologue because his monologue is just,
The still the best for me was the one about 2016 where he said, yeah, it's beer. It's real beer in here. I'm drinking beer during an award show. Live with it. Yeah, I like a drink. He said, now I like a beer as much as the next man, unless the next man's Mel Gibson.
Ricky is awesome. I love quality.
Excellent. We've got, I'm surprised we've got this far with this show. Bloody hell. There's no news at all. Good. Well done, fellas. This show and all the rest of them are supported by TSO Host. They give us two massive servers. One is to do the live streaming stuff, which we haven't used heavily as much in the last few weeks. One is to host all the content, and all the content we've ever produced is on there. You can go all the way back and listen to a whole load of drivel that's come out of these mouths for a very long period of time. They give us a great deal of support, and we need you to support them as well. So please get yourself out on the socials. Thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. A couple of weeks ago, you guys did this loads, and they were really, really chuffed with it. There was loads of little animations coming back out and stuff with them saying thank you. You'll get engagement with these people if you start to say stuff to them. So, you know, it's in your best interest as well, because they're retweeting stuff and they're doing it. So your social content will grow as well. Get out there with these guys, engage with them. They're good fun online, and they're the kind of company that have got the right ethic towards supporting people like us. If you do want to buy anything from it, fantastic. That's great. BTN20 is the offer code that will get you 20% off your basket with them. And there's some amazing deals at the moment. I've pointed a couple of people towards them for hosting and for WordPress stuff. So please, please, please check them out. And the other people to make sure that you look after, I'm in Max. They provide us with Callum every week. Free of charge to give us his commentary on Apple, and also they fix all of the BTN stuff and give all the listeners 5% off if they come from BTN. So mention that you're a BTN subscriber and that you heard about them through us, and you get yourself a little discount. If your device has got an Apple logo on it, these guys will fix it. They will absolutely fix it. Anything at all, take it to them and they'll do it. If you ship it to them, then they'll ship it back to you. And that'll all be included. And there's a 6-month warranty with absolutely everything that they do. Now, we always do a machine of the week, but the kind of problem with that has been the fact that the place has been closed up. But you are still doing referred machines without a problem. You never stopped, have you, Callum? So what's going off at the moment then?
We've still got actually plenty of 21.5-inch iMacs. I've been banging the drum for that for a couple of weeks on here. But, we've still got quite a bit of stock left. So, we are opening next week, so you can even come and pick it up off us if you want to. Now it all gets shipped out as well, so nice. Yeah, we've still got plenty of stuff in, so
good stuff. Mate, thank you very much. Please support them because they support us, plain and simple. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jeffrey.
Michael thing is from SetApp, because SetApp just seems to have all the stuff you need. And it's an application called OneSwitch. And what it does is it adds a little menu bar item. Did I steal your thing, Doc?
It's funny because you precursed it in the show.
Oh, yeah, he said he was going to steal your story, didn't he?
Oh, you little shit.
So my pick this week is Doc's pick. And OneSwitch, what it does is it gives you a menu bar item where you can quickly control different, like some system settings, like you can turn on or off dark mode. You can show or hide invisible files. You can automatically connect to your AirPods instead of having to like go to sound or Bluetooth and connect them that way. There's just a lot of different things you can control directly from this one little menu bar item, and it's proven to be like wonderfully handy. I installed it initially because I thought it sounded interesting. We'll see how long I actually use it. And it turns out that I've kept it and I'm really liking it. So OneSwitch, it's in SetApp.
So you come to the stage now, you're going to fight tooth and nail to keep it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Is it? If Angela comes in and says it's me or OneSwitch, and you go, there's the door.
It's like, how do you choose at that point?
No, absolutely.
that was the wrong answer, Jeff. That's really, to put on the record, that's really the wrong answer.
See, this whole isolation thing, it's completely screwing up my ability to automatically generate the correct response. I'm going to be in so much trouble when it's okay to interact with people in public again.
There's no such thing as the automatic correct response, because the correct response is what comes from the heart, brother, not the one that you culture and learn and rehearse.
I think the correct response is, but look, I added in an option into one switch, so it automatically shows your picture.
Oh, dear God. I'm gagging. Moving on. Doc, what's your cool thing? Save us, brother.
One switch, actually. Luckily I have somewhat of a backup, but it has to be hobbled together now. I ran into this YouTube video, and this the guy, his name is Max. He put together an external drive that is kind of genius, but the unfortunate part is no one already sells it as a single piece. So it turns out on Thunderbolt 3, on any of the more modern Macs, you can get a PCIe 4 SSD. And the prices have come down a lot, which is weird because everything else has gone sort of insane. So a PCIe 4 SSD, like from Seagate, the FireCuda, or Sabrent, you can pick up for like either $199 for 1 terabyte or $299 for 2 terabyte. Now, why this is important? A PCIe 4 SSD can do speeds of 5,000 megabytes per second. That is insane. Your internal Mac does about 13. Your average one of these external guys does around 500. Okay. So the only caveat is there's no case. So you have to buy a separate case, and you have to buy a Thunderbolt case, which comes out to like $129. But for around $400, a little less, you could piece together a absolutely ridiculously fast SSD for your editing and, you know, your photo editing and all these other things, and just slap it on the back of your drive. So for all of the pro app oriented people, what you want to get is a PCIe 4 NVMe SSD, and you want to get a capable Thunderbolt 3 enclosure for it. So hopefully OWC will put out a finished unit, because right now the ones that they have are still the PCIe 3, and they only cap out at 2800, as if that was slow. But the fact that the PCIe 4 ones can do 5,000 is just borderline ridiculous for an external drive.
Good. Thank you, mate. Super. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got an app called Mosaic. It's on setup again. It's one I discovered this week. So I use a 13-inch MacBook Pro. And plug it into a monitor when I get to work. Obviously, I haven't been at work. I've been using this to try and optimize my workspace a bit better. And it's really helped, to be fair. It basically just allows you to have a grid to lay your applications out. It's relatively easy to use. There is a little bit of configuration you have to do in the background, but say if I'm, you know, doing a quote for a customer or something like that, I can have the details up in one screen. The website I use to get the quote from in another, and then another window, you know, to write the email to them as well. So a really handy little thing. If you've got WhatsApp, it's there. If you don't, I think it's £10. You do get a free trial as well. So you can see if it's anything you like.
If you're on setup, it's there. Yeah.
If you're on setup, it's included.
So. And multi-monitor support as well. Very good.
Yeah. It's really, really neat little.
That is good. There's so much. You need you could really do with a video from setup that's broken into sections like productivity or whatever, that then shows you the apps that are available and what they do. They if they spent time doing that, they're not going to get any more money for doing it. I know, but it's like there's so many. You guys come up and you go, oh, we got this thing. And you get into the stage now where there's so many apps in setup that you can't actually physically work out necessarily off the top of your head what each one does. It's not until it's like the app of the week or until someone recommends it or something like that, that you know that it's going to be there.
every time I open this thing and I see a new app and it looks interesting, I'm like, why can't I click this and hear Don McAllister tell me, hi, this is Don McAllister, Fawcett app. Welcome to Screencast Online. Today's app is going to be Mosaic because Callum O'Hara suggested it.
I am so
in. You know what? If I close my eyes then, that was not Don McAllister.
Ewan, remember what you said when the show was off? I love you, but yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, I would just love to have him do an explainer for every one of these. Either him or David Sparks, and then it'll be much easier to know what to buy. I mean, to click.
Don was booked down to come on the show today, but he's turned us down. I don't know. I hope I haven't upset him, because I think he thought we were going to be, he didn't realize we were going to, he ticked the box to say he was going to come on the show, and we did Zoom and didn't come. And I'm just worried that I didn't give him the Zoom link, and everyone else just assumed it was last week's link, of course. And it was.
Typical Liverpool.
Yeah, Don, if you're listening, which he doesn't listen to this rubbish, there's no point in me saying that. We miss you, Don. Chuck, take us through your cool thing.
Okay, this is one that's been probably picked before, but I want to tell you why I'm picking it again.
Doesn't stop Doc.
We're all working at home. I know Doc just said he has a new 16-inch ordered, 16-inch MacBook Pro. I've got one of the new 16 inches, and what I discovered was that my Thunderbolt dock is not passing enough power through to charge it. Oh. And so I called OWC, and basically they said right now the only dock they have that will do that pass-through is this little travel dock, a full 100% or 100-watt pass-through. So when I use this to power my monitor, it obviously gives me an SD card slot. It gives me a couple extra USB ports. But kind of the point is that this will let me, with one cable, get that extra, those extra things, and keep the MacBook charged, MacBook Pro charged. Wow. So, and plus the fact that this, I mean, not only is it a great little dock for home, but it's also a great dock for travel. So that's the big thing here that you got to watch out when you're looking at docks now. If you're going to be getting that 16-inch MacBook Pro, you need the 100-watt pass-through.
Stop looking at me, Chuck. I have an excellent review of that on my
YouTube channel. Well, it's interesting because Doc has got a hole in his seat for cabling. Well,
yeah. 100 watts. 100
watts. 100 watts, man. Yeah, definitely right.
Yeah. No, I have an excellent review about that on YouTube, and I love it for travel. The other thing that's really great, Chuck, I don't know if you tried it yet, slap it into your iPad Pro. Works like a charm.
I don't have an iPad Pro that will take it yet.
Oh, that seems to be a point of contention. Oh, dear. Chuck.
But
my wife won't let me.
Yeah. I don't have a wife. No, that's the credit card won't let me yet. Okay. So.
Well done,
Jeff,
mate. Yeah,
Jeff knows some mountain lions. They're slightly different from cougars that he can hook you up.
Totally.
But the love bites are a killer. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I have, and I've forgotten what it actually was. Let me open up again.
IMDb link.
I have a TV show for you. It's called Future Man, and it's kind of a strange show. Like, it's a very strange kind of humor. And at first I thought, I was like, okay, this is strange, this is weird, but it's very charming. Like, in its strangeness, it's very, very charming. Definitely not the best actors ever you've seen. It has to do with time travel and like trying to prevent like a superhuman race and so on. As I said, it's like they have little jokes where like every time they time travel, someone switches like body parts with another. As I said, it is very, very strange. The first season, I'm not going to lie, is a little bit rough, but it gets really good in the second season. So Future Man, it's on Hulu in the US. I think it's on Prime in the rest of the world, if I'm remembering it correctly.
Oh, I was on Prime, cool.
Yeah, so definitely the first season is on Prime. I don't know about the second one. As I said, like, it's like sci-fi, dystopic, like it's a weird mix of a lot of different things, time travel, as I said. But it's very, very charming and, like, I wouldn't say well written. Like, the stories are absurd, but they're also fun. So,
oh, like, from the makers of Sausage Party. There we go. Yeah. That's the clue.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it has Haley Joel Osment in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has played some interesting and weird characters lately. Mm-hmm. So when I see his name pop up attached to a show, I'm intrigued just because of how interesting some of his characters have been. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. As I said, at first, like, I almost dropped it because it was like the first season, it started really strange. But then it got so funny and, like, interesting. And they have a lot of weird jokes and, like, everything. I mean, it's definitely not safe for work. I'm going to say that. You shouldn't watch that with your like, young children. There's some, like, very crude sexual humor in it.
But, oh, good. Yeah, I'm back on it now then.
Yeah.
My kind of series.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, like, it has, in the meantime, like, almost a cult following and, like, very good reviews, surprisingly. Like, I mean, for what it is, I'm actually surprised that so many people like it. Like,
yeah, good. Excellent, mate. Good pick. My cool thing is Hollywood. It's available on Netflix. It's a mini series, just, I think there's 7 episodes, and it's a story about a guy who wants to make it in Hollywood, who's an ex-forces guy from after the Second World War, set in 1950s. It reinforces one of my long-held theories that TV shows and films are being bankrolled by British and American tobacco, because everyone smokes in it all the time. I just can't believe that that's not going to be the... I mean, I could well be wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be slanderous or anything, but there's a lot of smoking in TV and movies at the moment. And as there's no advertising for tobacco's products, I'm sure that there's an affiliate link there, maybe. It's really good, though. It's quite interesting at the start. That it gets a little bit schmaltzy towards the end. The last episode is called The Hollywood Ending, and I just think they could have backed away and done a better ending than they did. But I don't think there's going to be a second season. I think it's going to be a one-off, and that's going to be it. If they make a second season, then it's probably going to be quite crap, because the way that the second story, the first season ended, there isn't anywhere to go with the story. So, but it's worth a watch. I binge watched it this week, and it's 7 hours of your life well spent. There we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Choke?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where I pretty much do everything, audio and video, talk to some really interesting people, and come on over. And as always, thanks for having me. It's a blast.
Oh, mate, always, 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 always. We don't want you to go back to work either.
Okay.
Sooner you retire and do this every day with us, the better.
Oh, no, never retire, but we'll work out something.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, make a living out of podcasting instead, but we won't be paying you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, good. Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, we only do it for the love. Come on. And Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com and on Twitter and Instagram, I am Jay Gamut. And I did a beginner webinar yesterday. So there's another one coming up in about 2 weeks. So if you want to learn more about using Text Expander, go to textexpander.com/webinars and sign up. And Doc, there's an advanced webinar coming up in June.
Okay. Cool, and offer code BTN2020. If you want to buy Text Expander and get 20% off, you can.
Yep.
Excellent. Doc, where would you be?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK, of course, on the YouTube channel. And I am actually launching a new streaming training site. The landing page is up right now. It's called Livestream Doc. Because there's a lot of people that are in the game now because of stay at home or whatever. But there's a lot of, as you know, from us doing this every week for going on 10 years, there's a lot of technical stuff that can go wrong if you don't have everything sort of properly in place. So the goal there is to get people up to speed real quick and at least get them to UN level.
Does no one else hear music?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where the music's coming from.
From Patrice?
No.
I'm just teasing.
I can't find it. I'll take my earphones out. It's like, no, it's not here.
Okay. Hey, there's ice cream man driving past your house right now.
He's Mr. Can Have a 99.
There's a cat. There's some dude in the lorry.
Truck.
Yeah, there's a lorry with a calliope on the back. It's going to be a clown and some balloons.
There's a mountain lion with a set of red power beats behind Jeff. Callum, where would you be, brother?
You can get hold of us at imamax.com. We're on all the socials. If you want to drop us an email, you can at info@imamax. I'm at O'Hara Callum on Twitter as well. If you've got any questions or want to get in touch, please do. We're back open on Monday, so if you've got anything you want to bring to us or, again, ask us any questions, give us a ring. You're more than welcome to.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. And last but by no means least, the man who's made it happen again this week. Woman, well done, Patrice. The woman, sorry. Yes.
You can, I'm here every week on the Mech Show and on the Big Show, so we're going to see me later tonight again. Sorry about that. No,
we're going to be doing this again because it worked really, really well. I've really enjoyed it.
Good.
It's less stressful at this end.
I can imagine that, yeah. Everything I do on the patrice.com, and I'm also, I'm going to repeat myself for a little while. I have the Foodie Flashback, foodieflashback.com. It's a podcast about food and about food-related memories. I actually released, I don't know whether you remember the Mac Mummy, Melissa. She's been on BTN
a couple of times.
Sure. Yeah, and I released a really cool episode with her where we talked about her Italian upbringing and about whether real Italians eat pasta with a spoon or not, and quarantine cooking, and a lot of very interesting things. I mean, if you know Melissa, then you know she has stories to tell. So it was a really good episode. It was a little bit longer than usual, but it was well worth it. So
based on the fact that Romans they invented the spoon, then.
Yeah.
Surely they use it.
There was a whole discussion about that. And
I'm looking forward to that one. I'll listen to that then.
Yeah, it's really cool. So head over to foodieflashback.com. And if you want to join, whether you've had ever been on the podcast or not, does not matter. Just ask Tom. He has never done it before and he was on the show. And it was great. So yeah, reach out to me and we'll set something up.
Brilliant. Good, mate. I really enjoyed doing it. It was a great show. I want to do another one. I can't think of anything I want to talk about yet, but that doesn't matter. That's not the inhibition
to
it.
No, that's never the issue.
My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. We're going to be back again with the Big Show at 8 p.m. And next week for definite, we will be back down the studio. I will not oversleep. And sorry. Next week, see you. Have a great weekend and thanks for listening.